Shit, shit, shit sandwich.
What the fuck is your problem?
Shut up, you freak!
Thanks, I needed that.
Welcome to the real world.
Our department.
Don't be too proud of this technological terror you've constructed.
You are the leading asshole in the state.
Bitch, please.
Pass the duchy, my friends.
Remember, a Jedi can feel the Force flowing through him.
What were you doing when the lights went out?
Birdie, num-num.
Lynch me for what my people have done to your people.
Oh, durka-durka-durka.
It's a madhouse! A madhouse!
Warning, if you want your asses blown out, stay in the room.
Hello, and welcome to Dave and Shecky's Groovy Boob Tube Review. I am Dave.
And I'm Shecky, and in our podcast, we watch movies that are available to everyone on their television set. Well, almost everyone. I guess if you don't have cable, you don't have the ability to see pay-per-view or any of that stuff. So,
hey, if you don't have cable, you probably don't have a computer with an iPod thing going either.
That might not necessarily be true.
Okay. Fair enough.
I mean, our friend Anthony from Paris has a computer, but does not have cable.
Uh-huh.
So there you go.
Yes.
Our friend. We call him our friend, and really, we only talk to him on the internets.
Well, that's good.
But anyway, so that's what we do. We watch movies on the television, whether it be cable, HBO, or pay-per-view. And we've been really sticking to pay-per-view, but quite frankly, the choices on pay-per-view lately have been just pretty awful.
Yeah, it's whose idea is this? Does anyone think that pay-per-view is cutting? Is it just upstate New York pay-per-view that sucks?
I know. I bet it's everywhere. I bet it's a national pay-per-view suckage.
I can't imagine.
I mean, and for $4 a pop.
Maybe it's just Hollywood sucks.
Well, I think that might be the problem as well.
We need Bollywood. Pay-per-view from Bollywood.
That would be pretty good, maybe.
I might like it.
Or maybe the pay-per-view movies would be better if the guys from MST3K did their own commentary on every one of them. Because then maybe it'd be more entertainable.
Wait a minute, man. I'm not like one of these computer kids, man. Like MST3K, man. It's like, Mystery Science Theater
3000.
Right, okay, yeah. Gotcha.
My God, you never watched that show?
I did. I've watched it. Well, not really before I met you, but we had watched it together.
Oh, God. I just thought it was very funny.
It's very witty.
Very, exactly. It's witty. I'm down with witty. It was your week to choose this week, and why don't you tell everybody what you chose?
I chose Dark Water.
Indeed. So why'd you choose Dark Water, Dave?
Well, I'll tell you, the choices were pretty dismal. And maybe it's just me. I think maybe I've been discouraged by some of these movies that we've picked that have just been really bad. Maybe there's some movies out there that are better than I actually give them credit for, and we should just give them a shot. I mean, maybe, I don't know, maybe Four Brothers is all right, or maybe, who knows what is all right.
Don't say Dukes of Hazzard, because there's no way that's all
that
right.
That is not all right. That was never all right on TV. What are you going to wait?
Wait a second.
What's the use?
Dukes of Hazzard, the TV show?
Please.
Are you kidding me?
What, you liked it?
Of course.
No, I never liked it.
Oh, well, I'm sorry, but we'll have to agree to disagree on the TV show. But there was just no reason to make a movie about it. There was just no reason. I would rather have seen a made-for-TV movie, Dukes of Hazzard reunion.
I would.
And I think
see
they had
too.
One actually. I think I had one, and I think I did say it. But
well, there you go.
I mean, So the problem with pay-per-view is, there's four channels of Dukes of Hazzard. There's four channels of 40-year-old Virgin, and there's four channels of Wedding Crashers. And the truth about some of these movies, like Wedding Crashers and 40-year-old Virgin, is that there's not much to talk about in them. So we don't really necessarily choose them because there's not. It's jokes, and so you can't really. The plot is not all that big, and so you couldn't talk about it for a half hour. You know? You agree, Dave?
I do.
So it's hard to find a movie that you can talk about for a while, and something that looks like it would be somewhat interesting.
I mean, you can talk about them, but do you really want to go there?
Well, look what happened.
Do you want to go in that negative direction?
Look what happened with Deuce Bigelow, the European Gigolo.
What about it? Oh, how we trailed into a...
We started talking about every other thing, because it was Deuce Bigelow, it was dick jokes, and it was gigolos. And that was, I mean, what more can you say?
Dick jokes.
So, with Dark Water, it was kind of weird because in the pay-per-view, you know, there's like a little brief description.
Synopsis.
Well, yeah, but exactly. But it said that it categorized this movie as a drama.
Yes.
Would you call it a drama?
No, this was a horror movie.
Was it a horror movie or was it a See, you know, if there's a ghost involved, maybe it's automatically a horror movie.
This is a horror movie, and often horror movies are thrillers.
Are thrillers?
Yes, thrillers.
Well, what's a thriller then?
A thriller
is... What's the difference? If I think a horror movie has monsters...
A little less horrific. And just sort of thrilling.
Oh, my God.
Like, you know, I'll put it this way. Alfred Hitchcock made thrillers, and Wes Craven makes horror movies.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Horror movies have monsters in them.
This had the supernatural monster. See, the supernatural is the ultimate, is a monster.
Well, that's what I'm saying, the difference between horror and thriller is. Thriller is like a movie like Seven. Or is that a horror movie?
Well, this was a horror movie. Seven, I didn't really see. So I'm a
fuck. Well, what would you say?
Is that Brad Pitt and Stinky MG?
Oh, my God.
Stinky MF?
David, stop it.
Look at Brad Pitt and Stinky MF.
You have to cut that shit right out. If you say it again, I'm editing it.
Okay. I'm sorry. There's rumors going around the internet.
Oh, my God. Will you shut the fuck up?
I'll just leave it at that.
Holy shit. What?
I love him.
You are the John Leguizamo of this show.
I like them.
Then why do you keep referring to him as Stinky?
I think it's really ridiculous.
Well, yeah, but people are going to think that you're like a racist or something.
Oh, man, I love Easy Rider.
Easy Rider.
Writer.
That's what I said. Writer.
Gotcha.
I didn't say Rider.
No.
So... Off to a good start, I see. So the movie stars Jennifer Connelly, who is an Academy Award winning actress for A Beautiful Mind.
Yeah, yeah.
And my problem with Jennifer Connelly is that I actually met her at some baby shower like a few years back, and I was just like, the baby shower was awful. Except for the lady who was actually having the baby, everybody else was pretty much stuck up and totally not the kind of people I would hang out with. And she was there, and she was the same as all these other chicks that were there.
Cocktoasting,
exactly. And so it was like it was just a really weird scene, and that baby shower just gives me when I think of it, it just really gives me a sour taste in my mouth. So whenever I see her, I'm like, ugh, Jennifer Connelly, that bitch.
She is a bitch. You could tell she's kind of bitchy.
Well, the problem was that in this movie, I was just like, oh my God, I hope Dave doesn't pick this movie because she's in it. And I hate her. But the truth of the matter is that she's a fine actress. And as much as, you know, as much as that baby shower, that cocktoast and baby shower really... ruined me for life. I can't really complain about her acting in this movie because she acted as if she might be a decent mom.
Is it me or is she a coke addict?
Why do you think she's a coke addict?
No, she just has that look of like a chick who's like just fucked up. She's like thin, fucked up, like...
Well, I think that was the character.
No, I think that's her.
No, but in her character, she was all like strung out on migraine medicine.
Well, you show me any movie she's been in where she doesn't look like a coke addict.
Oh, she was in that Fog and Sand, right? But she was also had problems in Fog and Sand.
Sand and Fog.
The House of Sand and Fog?
House of Fog and Sand.
Which is it?
The House of Fog and Sand. Sand and Fog.
The House of Fog and Sand?
Anyway.
House of Sand and Fog. I think it's
gotta
Fog
be
and Sand.
Sand and Fog, because if it's Fog and Sand, that sounds like fucking sand. House of Fucking Sand.
House of Sand and I think it's House of Fucking Sand.
Fucking Sand. She's in the House of Fucking Sand over there. Not paying your bills in the House of Fucking Sand. That's not right.
Oh God. So anyway, she was in that, but I don't think she looks strung out in it. Believe me, I'm not going to join the Jennifer Connelly fan club, but she was acting like a lady who, despite some issues with migraines, really loved her kid. She acted like a mommy should, I thought.
She was actually, I'll give you that. She was actually very good in the movie.
It made me think, like, geez, I wish my mother had been like that.
I don't like her one bit, but she was good in the movie.
Well, that was my whole problem. I don't like her one bit either. And you weren't even at the baby shower.
Just like Sandra Bullock in Crash, how you like her in reality, but you didn't like her in the movie because she did such a good job. This is the reverse.
This is the reverse, exactly.
Jennifer Connelly is an ass, but she played a good person.
She really did. And I was just like, oh my God, I wish she had been my mother, because she was picking up the girl. And it didn't even seem like acting. She was really believable, I thought. So anyway, the movie, you want to give what the plot of the movie is, Dave?
The plot of the movie. Let's see if I can decipher the plot.
It's pretty easy.
I would say that... they are, well, how would you, you do it.
Oh, God. I think I talk too much.
Well, no, I'll interject.
Okay. So the plot of the movie is basically Jennifer Connelly and her husband, Kyle, are getting a divorce. And they've got shared custody of the kid. And she can't really afford to live in Manhattan. So she goes and she finds a really crappy apartment in Roosevelt Island, Roosevelt.
Let's just stop right there.
Well, you told me to do it.
Let me tell you something.
Did you just burp?
That was me just clearing my throat.
Are you clearing your throat or did you burp?
It was a combination. Okay. Somebody ever never done that? Clear your throat with a burp. It's amazing. Now, what I'm saying is anyone who moves to Roosevelt Island, okay, in the first place, what? Who does that? Who the hell does that?
Well, you're assuming that people who listen to the show know where Roosevelt Island is.
All right. Well, you don't move don't do it. There's nothing going on there for a single mom with a kid. It's not happening.
Well, it's cheap, though. I think that was the problem. It was cheap, and it's safer than moving into the Bronx or certain parts of Harlem.
Dumbass. She should have moved to Jersey City with her ex-husband or even another part of Jersey. Everybody knows Jersey's safer than Roosevelt, whatever the hell island she was on.
You think Roosevelt Island's not safe?
That building, it never stopped raining on that island. Well, it must have been that island, because it doesn't do that in Manhattan. I don't know what the span of the movie was, but it never rained 6 or 7 days straight in Manhattan.
That is in the movie. That's not in real life. Roosevelt Island is a small island on the, what is that, the East River?
Yes.
It's
off the FDR Drive there.
Around 59th Street, right?
Over there.
Is it 59th Street?
That sounds about right.
It's around there. It's
yes, it is 59th Street, because you got the tram there at the Queensboro Bridge, 59th Street Bridge, rather.
So on the east side of Manhattan, there's a tram that goes over to this very tiny little island called Roosevelt Island. It's in the middle of the East River, and it's got nothing but apartment buildings on it. And the thing is that you have to take a tram. Does the subway go over there?
Yeah, there's a subway, too.
And there's a subway. And it's cheaper than living in Manhattan. It's a little inconvenient, but not really. But the big problem with Roosevelt Island is they don't allow dogs. You cannot have an apartment in Roosevelt Island with a dog.
Well, I guess you don't like dogs if you live there.
And you know what? That's where Coot was found.
Fuck Roosevelt Island.
Did you hear me?
Coot was found on Roosevelt Island?
That's right. Tied to a bus shelter in Roosevelt Island, where he didn't belong.
I knew there was something weird about that dog.
Stop
it. He's supernatural.
Well, he's not supernatural, but someone discovered him and told me about him, and I rescued him from the from impending doom, a.k.a. the Big Blue Needle.
That woman's character showed poor judgment for moving into that apartment complex.
Well, she didn't want to move. See, the problem was that she didn't want to move to Jersey City where her husband was, because that's where he was with his lover. Then I am going to say lover in quotation marks.
Lover.
Because I don't know if you noticed, but at the end of the movie.
Yeah.
What are you pointing at?
I just hope we're not overloading. Are we overloading?
No.
Because when I said lover, it got up into the red. lover. Okay, I guess we're all right.
Anywho, I don't even remember what I was saying.
There's a good reason there's an edit button.
Yeah, and it's not going to be used because I want people to get the full effect
harsh out
of Dave.
Don't broke my vibe, bro. I need to take another Intonin, man.
Oh, my God. Anyway, see.
What you were saying was, didn't want to move to Jersey City because of her lover, because the husband's lover was there. And she wanted to be hard-headed and have her own space.
But did you see how I used the word lover and not girlfriend?
Well, that's her point of view. Maybe the guy thinks it's his girlfriend. Who knows what they're thinking? That's just the side that you're choosing.
No, but at the end of the movie, when they go and collect the little girl, he's with a man.
Oh, he is?
Yes, and that's what I almost mentioned to you at the end of the movie.
I didn't know where you were going with that. And now you're blowing me out of the water over here.
Because I'm blowing you out of the dark water.
Holy cow.
Because I wanted to keep something as a surprise.
No wonder he was playing with those little kids. He's a weirdo. He likes little boys.
What do you mean he's playing with what little kids?
Remember when she sees him with the kids and she thinks he's paying off the kids to do stuff? He's gay.
Oh, I didn't even think about that.
He's sitting there giving the kid a cigarette because he likes to talk with little boys. Uh-huh.
Well, no, wait a second. No. I have to stop you right there. Just because there's a guy that is gay does not mean he's a pedophile.
True.
So, I mean...
But those kids were not... Those kids were bad kids. They had a lot of bad sexual comments they were making towards her. They weren't just innocent kids, you see.
Yeah, but those kids...
They wanted it.
It could have been that guy, they don't... See, that's the problem, is that they don't really expand on what's going on there. But we're talking about shit that we shouldn't be talking about because no one's going to know what we're talking about.
If two punks from... two teenagers came up to you in the building and said some shit like that to you, you wouldn't say, what the fuck did you just say? You'd be intimidated by them? I'd have fucking kicked them in the nuts.
Yeah, but you know what? When you're... first of all, she is frail. Anyway, Jennifer Connelly moves to this really crappy apartment building in Roosevelt Island. She's in apartment 9F. The ceiling is leaking, and it's leaking. Here it comes, folks.
Ooh, the dark water.
Exactly. So, it's leaking all the time.
Yeah, I've looked at apartments in the city. If it's leaking, you don't... rent it. You're gonna rent an apartment that the first day you see it, it's leaking.
I don't think she saw that it was leaking.
Should have been called lack of judgment.
Well, the problem was, remember that the little girl saw that it was leaking, and John C. Reilly saw that she was looking at it, and he kind of got Jennifer Connelly's attention and dragged her out of the room to show her the bathroom or something.
Gotcha. You know,
so gotcha. Only the little girl saw that it was leaking.
Now, this was a good movie because John C. Reilly is a good actor, too.
John C. Reilly is a... I mean, for the amount of acting that... the amount of time he was actually on the screen, he's golden. He's like one of those actors that is just always going to give you a good performance, even if he's only in the movie for 10 minutes or if he's in it for 2 hours.
Yeah, he's good. He's like a dramatic version. He's like the dramatic equivalent of Will Ferrell is to comedy. You see that? Do you know what I'm talking about? He's like the same kind of personality, but he's dramatic. He's not necessarily straight comedy.
I only know that they both have curly hair. Is that really what you're getting at?
I'm seeing something there.
I mean, John C. Reilly is a much better actor than Will Ferrell is.
Yeah, but Will Ferrell is a better comedian than John C. Reilly. See, Will Ferrell is the comedy, where John C. Reilly is the acting.
Yeah, but John C. Reilly has been very funny in movies.
Hey, Will Ferrell's a pretty good actor, too.
Will Ferrell is just straight out funny, and he's silly to look at.
All right.
He's not like...
All right, touche.
Oh, God.
If I can quote Shakespeare.
You are... This is what happens to you.
What?
What?
Today's a good day.
Okay, terrific. So what happens is they move into this crappy apartment, and the leaks are really...
really bad. And the guy who's showing the apartment, of course, blames it on the rain. So that he kind of brushes it away right there. there's a leak in the wait, what is the water? What does the dark water represent? Is that like the supernatural? Is
that's
the girl?
What, that's where this is where this movie gets really kind of crazy for me, and this is where it wasn't the dark water. I mean, I don't know if it's supposed to be overflowing water from, they have one of those huge water tanks that are very familiar to people who live in Manhattan. They have these huge, I mean, how many gallons would you say?
Oh.
50 gallons, 50,000 gallons?
I don't know about that, but definitely thousands of gallons.
Thousands of gallons. They're wooden. They're like huge wooden barrels, but they're, you know, easily 20 feet around.
It has to do with water pressure.
It's water pressure, and they're on every just about every apartment building in Manhattan, and I guess Roosevelt Island.
Some small towns, you know, they have them big, just water towers, right?
Right. And these are mini water towers on top of these buildings. Almost every building in Manhattan has one.
That's right.
And and in this movie, it was just fucking raining every day. Raining. It's just
it
like
it was raining stuff.
It was hallelujah. It's raining things. And it was just, and so apparently you were supposed to think that the rain was coming in from the from the overflowing, right?
Oh, you mean the leak?
The leak, right. The leak was coming from the rain overflowing. But the problem was that, you know, so you have all this shit happening. You have the divorcee, and you have the little girl, and you have the crappy apartment, and then you've got the two teenagers on, you know, in the apartment building who are saying, like, lewd things to her and really making her feel uncomfortable. And then on top of all of that, you've got a ghost.
Yeah, who makes its appearance the first time she gets in the elevator. The ghost is pulling her hand.
The ghost.
Don't you think that's enough right there to let you know that you shouldn't move in?
Yeah, at one point when they're first getting to see the apartment, they all get in the elevator. The elevator opens up at the floor. John C. Reilly and Jennifer Connelly's daughter Cecilia, or Ceci as they call her, they get out of the elevator. Jennifer Connelly goes to get out of the elevator, and you can tell a little invisible hand is holding on to her and not letting her get off. And then the elevator door shuts and all wacky shit happens. And then, you know.
And the creepy guy, not to mention the creepy guy who is the doorman, the creepy doorman.
Veek.
Why would you move?
Vec?
What? I mean, is she a complete crackhead? Why would you move into this place? Everything there tells you not to move in there.
Well, see, that'd
be better off living in Central Park, homeless in Central Park, than dealing with all those elements.
Yeah.
You gotta be out of your fucking mind. And that's why this is a good movie, because I'm actually thinking about this and not saying this movie sucked.
Right. Well, I mean, there was a lot of weird crap going on. And the fact that the pay-per-view called it a drama, that right away started pissing me off, because it was clearly more than a drama. If you got a ghost involved, it's not a drama.
That's true.
I mean, unless it's like...
No, it's not only that. It was just scarier than a drama.
It was scarier than a drama. And the
it was
little
a trauma.
Well, see, the problem, and see, this is the other thing that I don't know if you realized or not, Dave.
Yeah.
That the ghost's name was Natasha.
Okay.
Jennifer Connelly's mother's name
was Natasha.
Was Natasha.
Okay.
This is the other thing. This is what I think the movie was trying to say, that Jennifer Connelly's mother had been abandoned when she was little.
Okay, I didn't get that.
What did you think?
I didn't see any of that.
Do you know the little girl who played Natasha was also the same little girl who played Jennifer Connelly in the flashbacks?
Yeah, see, that's what I didn't... I thought she looked exactly like her, and the thing is, that's why when there was a picture of the little girl in the apartment, I was like, oh, it's her, as a kid. I was like, why? Why is that?
Well, that's what I'm saying. So
this movie, it was very good, but I'm not. I don't think they strung this stuff together well enough.
Well, and then when the movie was over, during the credits, we saw that it was in fact a Japanese movie. It was a Japanese remake by the guy who wrote The Ring. And Dave has his own theory about the Japanese, because he's been bandmates with Japanese guys.
I've been bandmates with Japanese guys.
See, I told you.
It's true. Not only that, I went to school with them. I grew up with Japanese kids. I know the culture. I know the food. I know that you shouldn't leave your... Let me tell you this. If you go out to a Japanese restaurant with Japanese people,
yeah.
First of all, don't drink your tea fast.
What do you mean?
Because they're going to think you're a stupid American drinking like a cow.
Wait a second. So you're supposed to savor your tea?
Yeah, sip your tea. Don't fucking gulp it down like an American. And the other thing, no chopsticks left in the food when you're not eating, because that symbolizes bones being dug up from the ground.
Shut the fuck up.
And sticking out of the ground from the grave. And
are
that's
you kidding
disrespectful
me?
To the dead elders.
Wait, are you serious? Is that something you just made up?
Nope. I'm telling you
Who
the truth.
Who told you that?
My friend Masanobu.
Masanobu said, Dave, I understand what you're doing over there, but can you please remove your chopsticks from your food because you have just insulted everyone in the joint?
No. He went, oh,
shut
Dave,
up.
Dave, take your chopsticks out of the food. You're killing me.
He did not say you're killing
you're
me.
You're disrespecting my dead uncles.
Just the uncles?
No, my dead elders.
So tell me if we were Japanese, what would be the difference between us understanding this movie and not understanding this movie?
Well, that's what I'm saying is the Japanese have a relationship with the supernatural and with the ghosts that we just do not have with the spirit world. See, the Japanese have a tie-in to the spirit world that we here in America just think is some kind of goofy shit. Like over here we have Casper, the friendly ghost. Over there they just have Casper. You see?
No, I don't understand. What do you mean they just have Casper?
It's not a... All right, let me put it this way. Over here, it's a ghost story. Over there, it's just a story.
So, are you saying that ghosts are part of the everyday life?
Ghosts are such a part of the everyday life that for you to even consider that they may or not exist, for you to think that ghosts don't exist, you'd be out of... You'd just be like... That'd be like saying that water doesn't exist. So for the average Japanese person, at least old school Japanese person, their connection to the spirit world is like a real everyday thing, and it affects their decision making.
What do you mean?
Well, you know, they are guided by the spirits.
Do they talk to them, or do they just aware of their presence?
I'm not sure that they will talk to them, but they take things as symbolic of their existence and. They take these symbols as meanings of things that they should do, you know. It's just, I don't know. Spirit world is a very powerful presence in the Japanese culture.
So with all your Japanese friends, they would talk to you about this stuff, or you just observed their families?
They talk about it a little bit, but more about actually, like I've read, somehow in high school we read some Japanese authors that I can't even remember their names now, but the theme constantly had something to do with like dead people like ruining their lives, basically. Like they're basically like they'll commit suicide over like something that's, you know, these people like they walk out into the ocean and drown themselves because like the spirits have told them to.
Really?
Yeah, it's like, and it's not like
and
that
that's not
crazy.
Like an odd thing. Okay,
that guy's just, you know, the spirits were whatever, I don't know. Enough of that. I'm going on and on.
No, because I think it's interesting.
Because yeah, what we think is just kooky spirit stuff over there is like, yeah, straight ahead. It's like, that's how it is.
Well, see, that's a big difference when you're watching a movie like this. Like a movie like Dark Water, because...
Yeah, to adapt this to an American basically American way of thinking. It's just like, it's kind of gets lost in translation, I would think.
I'm just thinking that to Americans watching this movie, it's just a kind of a thriller horror movie with ghosts, and it's kind of creepy, but maybe the Japanese would see it differently.
Definitely, and I would even suspect that they had to take out things that just American audience couldn't really relate to.
Well, I think that's like at the end of this movie, and here's a spoiler alert, so if you don't want to know what the end of the movie is, I would go forward about a minute or two. At the end of this movie, this little girl has haunted Jennifer Connelly and her daughter, and the daughter, you know, she makes the daughter play with her, like the daughter has Natasha as her imaginary friend, and it's, you know, the kids at school are starting to think that Cecilia, who's Jennifer Connelly's daughter, is crazy, but what it is that this little girl is just with her all the time. And so at the end, Jennifer Connelly decides to move because they discover what happened to this little girl and why she's haunting the apartment. She actually fell into that huge water tower. Her parents had each left the apartment and thought that she was with the other parent. So the mother went to California and was under the impression that the daughter had gone away with the father. The father went to Russia and was under the impression that the daughter had gone to California. So this little girl was living alone in her apartment without any supervision for, I don't know, probably not very long. And then she just wandered up to the roof one day and went up to the tower to play around maybe, and fell in and drowned in this huge, you know, multi-thousand gallon water tank. So once Jennifer Connelly, you know, the water is just pouring. It's just like, it's just pouring into her apartment all the time, just through everything. And it's dark and it's murky and it's horrible. And so at the end, she figures out what the problem is. She finds the dead girl's body and you think, okay, that's solved. And then she says, I'm moving to Jersey City. We're getting out of this apartment. Well, it's not really solved because the little girl's ghost is still there. And she has become attached to Jennifer Connelly and wants her to be her mommy. And in the end, the little girl tries to kill Jennifer Connelly's daughter. And Jennifer Connelly has to say, please don't kill her, because the little girl doesn't want to be alone. So she's either going to not be alone and kill Jennifer Connelly's daughter so she can have a playmate, or it's got to be Jennifer Connelly so she can have a mommy.
Yes.
And so Jennifer Connelly says, take me. And the little girl's allowed to live, and Jennifer Connelly dies. See, and as an American watching that, you're like, well, that's really fucked up. But maybe as a Japanese person watching that, it means something completely different.
Well, maybe. But you know what? Also, I think it's not only that. I think they had to change the movie to make it make sense for an American audience. I don't even think
it made sense, though.
Look, that's what I'm saying. And in the process, it kind of lost its whatever, real solidity. But what I'm saying is, like, for example, do you think, I think the Philip Roth character that we haven't discussed yet, I don't even think that was even part of the original Japanese story. I think they just wrote him in. You think of some lonely Japanese lawyer without a family? That's like an American concept there. That's like an American character.
Well, you know what? I didn't understand it. I didn't understand why he was even needed in it. Like, they had him in there. He didn't really do much.
Yeah, it's true.
I mean, it wasn't necessary. Either have him in more or don't have him in at all.
Yeah, you know, that's what I'm saying. Parts of this movie just didn't add up.
Do you think they cut stuff out?
They may have cut stuff out, and they may have not been able to make sense of it fully in the first place, because the fact that it's a Japanese story, it really makes full sense at that point.
Right. Once we saw, like, that it was all these Japanese credits started coming up, we were like, ah, okay. Like all of a sudden, okay, well, now we know why it doesn't make sense to us.
It's almost like these animated movies that you like, these Japanese animated movies.
Yeah.
It's like them being, you watching them, you like them, they're beautiful, and you can get the story, but I think there's probably some stuff that, since it's not part of your culture, you're not seeing it like a Japanese person would see it.
I agree.
There's certain things that you don't know exist.
You know what? I agree with you 100%.
I think that's the same with this movie, but they just changed it as much as they could to get it to work. It's just like, what other movies have they done similar things like that?
Well, this was actually done by the guy who wrote The Ring.
The Ring. Gotcha.
So, I mean, you know, which did transfer well. It did make the leap from Japanese to American pretty well, but that movie's much more scary, and it's straight horror movie, you know.
So the guy who wrote The Ring is Japanese, is what you're saying?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah, I like that. I like the Japanese. I like them Japanese. They make good art, good music. Good food.
Oh, God. You know, I was on my other podcast. I played a part of, I played some music from the Final Fantasy XI game that I play.
Yeah.
And I got a couple people asking for the copy of the MP3 because it's just really that nice. It's really the Final Fantasy movies
symphonic
and the games.
Sort of sci-fi symphonic.
It's more like fantasy symphony stuff. It's really beautiful, though. Really, really nicely done. Amazing stuff. So,
cool.
It was interesting. What's the best part of this movie for you?
The best part of this movie was that it wasn't a bad movie. The best part of this movie was that I actually was like slightly redeemed in like the unknown possibilities of pay-per-view. You know, I mean, like overall, the movie was good.
Right, and
I don't think it really had a best part. It wasn't like I don't think any part of this movie was the best part for me. It just wasn't bad. It was a good movie. It wasn't a great movie, but it was a good movie.
What was the worst part of the movie for you?
Well, the worst part of the movie was what was the worst part for you?
The worst part of the movie for me was it was that it was a little, it wasn't making too much sense. It was a little too like abstract for me.
Yeah.
And if I had known,
you got to blame that on the Japanese.
Well, that's what's going. If I had known going in, like if I had done a little research and had known that this was a movie that was translated from a Japanese film or a story, then I would have, maybe the abstractness wouldn't have been as big of a deal. But I didn't know that, so it was kind of like I was like, what the fuck.
Are there any Japanese American directors? Because that's who you need to make this movie. Someone who has an understanding of both cultures. I mean, let's not have the director of Cheaper by the Dozen do the remake of Pink Panther. Who else in the room here thinks that's fucking stupid? Who's missing the goddamn points? Who should be shot for that? That's fucking stupid.
Oh, but that has nothing to do with the Japanese.
I'm just saying, don't ruin a great story with someone who doesn't understand the story in the first place. And that's why this movie wasn't as good as it could have been. This movie could have been fucking brilliant, but it's not.
I agree. I agree that this movie could have been brilliant, and it could have been much more touching. And it did get a tear out of me. It got a tear out of me at the very end.
You get a tear going at Dancing with the Stars.
You know, it's so funny. I was watching the Olympic opening ceremonies today, and I am sitting there bawling, and you're there standing behind me making fun of everything and totally like having the most opposite reaction. I'm like looking at the beautiful opening ceremony, the people talking about peace, what's his name, Peter Gabriel singing Imagine, and I'm just all caught up and I'm thinking, what if we could all live as one? And you're like, what the fuck? What were you saying?
I said this, I'm like, uh-oh, Yoko Ono, please don't sing.
No.
Please don't sing.
But what did you say about Peter Gabriel? You said something about his voice, and he's like in the middle of the song, and I'm bawling, and you're like...
like the bum on Opie and Anthony.
Oh, he said...
He sounded like Grey Bear.
Opie and Anthony is a radio show that's on XM Satellite 202, and they have a homeless guy named Grey Bear.
Shelter me from the pouring rain.
And he sings this really, it's in this, and it's funny that he sings this song. It's really catchy, but you were like, and you know, you can't just be like a normal,
just kidding.
But you can't be in a normal conversational voice. Oh, he sounds like Grey Bear. It's like, he sounds like Grey Bear over there. And I'm like, we are so polar opposites. Yes, I cry over everything. And yes, I did cry at the end of this movie because the little girl, Jennifer Connelly's daughter, is in the elevator for the last time.
That was a nice touch.
Oh my God, it was gorgeous. She was in the elevator for the last time,
that
going
was like a
down
Japanese touch.
Because her dad is now taking her to live with him, and she's in the elevator and she goes to get their father. Leaves the elevator and she goes to get out of the elevator, and Jennifer Connelly holds her hand.
The ghost of Connelly.
The ghost of Jennifer Connelly holds her hand, and you know is. It's really beautiful. And then did you notice that when she leaves the elevator, her mom had done her hair for her? Did you notice that? And the father looks at the daughter.
I didn't notice that.
she'd done her hair for her in the elevator, the ghost of Jennifer, and that kind of stuff, ugh, forget it. I'm like, I fall apart. And Dave's like over there making his weird noises and commentary.
The girl's got the shining, I tell you.
Yeah, exactly. Dave's like, have you ever cried at a movie?
Of course.
Which one? Give me a movie you've cried at.
I'm not gonna talk about where I've cried.
I cry at the drop of a hat. Ghost Whisperer. The end of the last 3 or 4 minutes of Ghost Whisperer almost always make me cry. So I'm really bad that way, and you're like the opposite. And it used to be when we first got married, I would try to I would try to hide it because I was a little embarrassed. But now I'm just like, I'm full out blubbering.
Oh, sweetie.
Sobbing. My face is all red and puffy. And then, but then you always look at me and you're like, are you crying? It's like, no, my eyes are leaking. I'm not sure what's happening over here. I'm just having an allergic reaction.
Oh, sweetie.
You're so funny. So, on a scale of 1 to 10?
Six and a half.
Okay, 6.5 is also, is that what you give the animal? Or you give the animal a 7?
I don't know. I got to write down what I give the animal. It's always changing in my head. I would say this movie was as good as the animal.
Oh, so you? I think you liked this movie more than I did. But see, your 6.5 and my 6.5 are 2 different 6.5s.
What would you like?
What? What would I like?
What would you like?
I would like some candy and popcorn.
What would you like? What would you give it?
I would give it a 6.5 as well.
I know.
But with the caveat that had they had, like you said, a Japanese-American director to put this film together, I think this movie could have been like a 9.
Yeah.
I think if the story had been weaved in a different way, and it was
change the title too. Dark Water sounds too much like Still Water or some kind of, you know, shark movie. I got images of Jaws.
Yeah, it wasn't a very good title. It wasn't a very good title, but I think it could have been done better. But I didn't. I wound up not hating Jennifer Connelly as much as I really wanted to.
That's true. Me too. Got to give her that. She's good.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, she can act. I just don't go to a baby shower with her. And
she was good in Requiem for a Dream. You know, she was a fiend.
I couldn't watch that movie.
That movie was way harsh. She was good.
You know what? I couldn't. Every time they did the needle thing, that little, those clips of
the accelerated motion.
But that, whatever it is, you know what? You do that once or twice. But if I have to see that every 7 minutes, that's called a gimmick to me. And then it ruins the rest of the movie for me. So I just couldn't even watch it anymore.
Gotcha.
I think it might be time
for you. What is the movie that, sorry, let me just ask you this. What's the movie that everything happens? What am I thinking?
They film the scene backwards?
Yeah, it's like in reverse.
That's that, it's not the whole movie, it's just a scene. It's Top Secret. There's a scene in it where they film it backwards.
Top Secret.
With Val Kilmer. Is that what you're talking about? Or are you talking about Stir of Echoes? What are you talking about?
I don't know. When I remember, I will tell you.
Okay, Dave, I think it's time for your favorite segment, your self-produced segment. Do you remember the name of it?
People who are in movies.
Stop.
Oh, drat. I knew it was between
just
that
remember.
And the people that are in movies.
No.
That you don't.
No.
People that you don't know. Who that are people that you don't know that are in movies that
no.
you should know.
Dave.
Shabba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Fuck. It's people that you don't know.
Yeah.
That you should know.
Right.
That are in movies.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so just say it again for us.
People that you don't know that you should know that are in movies.
Da-da-ba-ba-da-bum. Okay, and so who is our person that we don't know that we should know that is in movies this week?
Clint Howard.
Dave, no one's...
Okay, Clint Howard. Try it again. Clint Howard.
Okay, so who is Clint Howard?
Clint Howard is a really weird-looking guy. He okay. kind of has the hugest forehead in TV, or in movies, perhaps. And he even had that when he had hair. But now without the hair, his forehead's even bigger, and you combine that with his weird squinty eyes, and he's a very odd-looking fellow. But what's even odder about Clint Howard is that he is Ron Howard's brother.
Why is that odd?
Because Ron Howard and him don't look alike.
I think they do.
Whoa.
I think they look a little bit alike.
He looks like Ron Howard's retarded brother.
Oh, stop it.
But, to tell you the truth, I like him more than Ron Howard.
Okay. Why is that?
He's been in, like, all these movies. I just know that I've seen him in, like, five or six movies a year.
You recognize him immediately. I never recognize him, but whenever we're watching something, you'll be like, it's Clint Howard over there.
Look, it's 2006. It's just the second month of 2006, and he's already in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 movies. Now, okay.
That's according to IMDb.com.
Three of them are in pre-production, but 2005, he was in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 movies in 2005.
Seven movies.
And in 2004, 1, 2. Oh, never mind. He was only in 2 movies in 2004. That was a slow year.
But those were damn good movies.
Yeah, he's in The Cat in the Hat.
But that's a horrible movie. Give a good example.
He's in The Dead Wives Club. He's in Crossing Jordan. Oh, that is Crossing Jordan. Never mind. He's in...
Those are shows, though. Those.
He's in
movies.
Austin Powers, Gold Member.
As?
As...
He's a character actor.
He's Johnson. He plays Johnson.
Please.
He was on Enterprise, Star Trek Enterprise.
But he's a character actor that shows up in episodes, and he's a bit part player. He's not a star.
He plays Nipples in Little Nicky.
Oh, my God. One of the worst movies ever made, by
he's
the way.
He's in My Dog Skip.
Oh, God.
He's in The Spy Who Shagged Me.
Okay, Dave.
I mean, this guy is in a lot of movies.
Okay, but just don't sit here and read off.
He's even in The Dentist.
When did you start noticing him? Why? Because you talk about him all the time.
Well, that's the funny thing. See, I noticed this guy back in the 70s. I just thought he was some weird-looking guy. But then I realized all of a sudden I'm like, he's Ron Howard's brother. And then I'm like, what? Ron Howard's brother? What kind of a weird family is this that you have Ron Howard, the superstar, and then you have Clint Howard, the weirdo brother who no one knows but's been in hundreds of movies?
But that's like the Arquettes, right?
I guess so, but I thought I knew all the Arquettes, actually. And then I find out there's a transvestite Arquette.
Is it a transvestite or transgender?
I don't know. What's her name? Alexis?
Something like that, yeah.
God damn, that's a funny family.
Some of them are funny.
Anyway,
I have my favorite Arquettes.
Clint Howard is the cat I was picking for this time, and you know, just know that Ron Howard has a fucked up brother who's in a lot of movies.
He's not fucked up. When you have a big cranium like that, it means that your brain is large.
I think I've seen him in some roles, but in the past where he's just kind of like kooky.
He probably is just like, screw it. My brother has money. I've got some cash. I can be in any kind of movie I want, and I choose to be in these crazy movies and or weird episodes of TV shows.
Hey, who am I to say? I mean,
yeah.
How many movies have I been in?
How many movies have you been in?
I ain't been in no movies. Hey, you kids over there ain't been in no movies over there.
All right, do you want to suggest to people that they visit our website?
Oh, yes. Please visit daveandshecky.com. You'll find lots of tidbits of funny stuff over there. And over here...
You know, it's funny. We have... I'm going to reveal that we have 655 subscribers as of today, which is a nice number of subscribers. And we have 7 people who have joined the forums. And it's just... It's insane. It's insane. People just, I think they just are, they don't want to come to the forums, Dave. I think you need to have a personal plea.
Yo, man, come on down to the forums. Yo, what's up with that?
DaveandShecky.com. There is a button that says the forums. So come on to the forums. We are very interested in people's top 10 lists of horror movies, thriller movies, science fiction movies, comedy movies, because, We are eventually going to start doing movies that aren't on pay-per-view, because the pay-per-view movies are really starting to suck. So we're going to start just picking other random movies because the pay-per-view is just really crappy. Just
suckola, dude.
It's awful, awful, awful choice. So come and visit us at DaveAndShecky.com, and if you're feeling so inclined, vote for us at Podcast Alley.
Next week it's Shecky's choice, man, so you never know what you're going to get, dude.
Oh my God, you're like not only are you like the stoner dude, but you're like the stoner dude who's about to like go postal.
Dude, let me bite your face, bro.
What?
Yeah.
I'm gonna bite your face, bro? What the fuck
is that? Yo, dude, look out before I bite your face, bro.
That would be a great sci-fi movie. A great sci-fi channel movie. Stoner zombies from hell.
Attack of the Stoner Zombies.
Oh my God. You know what? And it's so funny because someone is just going to go and jump on it and make that movie. You heard it here first, folks. Stoner zombies from hell. Maybe we should start a forum thread. Stoner zombies from hell. And maybe we can all pitch in and write a script for it.
They'll steal your stash and then eat your heart. In a whirl.
They'll steal your stash and eat your heart. Oh, man. That's fucking funny. Oh, my God. All right. Well, we got to, you know what? It's like Costanza. Good night, everybody. You're not going to be able to top that, so we might as well just say goodbye then.
Unless you want to have a sandwich while you have sex.
What? Okay, see, that's why I said we just got to say goodbye, because you just brought it down with that. Totally.
Costanza.
No, Costanza, Seinfeld told him, if you leave them laughing, don't just leave them. Leave them laughing. Good night, everybody. And you just walk out of the room. Mm. And you just did the worst thing ever.
Serenity now.
All right, everybody. We will see you next week. It is my turn to pick, and who knows? Who knows what will be on pay-per-view then? Say goodbye.
Goodbye. I love it. Take it easy.
Let's see how this comes out. All right?
They're right there. All right, here we go. I got a spray. I'm going to put it on the
face. This is nice.
Oh, you're awesome.
This is a story about a man. He always was so lonely at night. But his voice was rowdy. You could hear it all through his train station. And I'm gonna sing this one. This is about Tippy Toe Tommy.
Let's go while we're young.